And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I think that this week we had a lot of important political news. That at first glance doesn't seem political. It seemed health-related or health policy-related or constitutional-related, but I think it's political, and I think that the way to grasp it is that this week Trump decided to ditch the American Constitution and adopt the Articles of Confederation. I don't know that anybody noticed it except me and maybe you, but that's exactly what he did when he tried to explain why he has consistently fumbled leading the proper response to the coronavirus. Have you noticed that?
I did notice that. And actually, I did see one commentator mention that. And of course, this meshes in to some extent with the Republican political theory that's emerged over the last 40 years, or at least in part, and also has something to do with the libertarian philosophy as well. We should note, just as quick background, that after the Revolutionary War was won, our founders met and they developed a form of government that was not constitutional, but it was called the Articles of Confederation, and it was based primarily on allowing each of the individual states, much like, I guess, what the what Germany or Italy looked like before they were consolidated.
Or like the common market today.
Yeah. Right. Individual states to preserve the states' rights to do things. And the federal government had very little powers of regulation or taxation or what have you. And as it turned out, of course, it didn't work. And so we had that that constitutional convention that was called for Philadelphia in 1787, which, of course, interestingly, was not known as a constitutional convention at that time. It was a convention that was supposed to fix the Articles of Confederation, not scrap them. But the wiser heads, notably Madison, backed by Washington and Hamilton, and those folks realized, Jefferson wasn't there, he was in France, Franklin was there, that the system just wasn't working and that they had to scrap it. And they came up with our Constitution. But the Articles of Confederation left a lot to the states. And what we've seen in this crisis is that it still doesn't work as a political form for, you know, for a nation. That
But Trump and his prime minister, Jared Kushner, they've made the point, Trump has made the point, the federal government is not a stock clerk for the states. We're not supposed to send supplies to the states. It's up to the states to get their own supplies. And Kushner made the point that the national strategic stockpile is ours. It's not the states.
Yeah.
And somebody said, ours? Who are we?
Who are the ours? Yeah. You know, the first words of the Constitution are we the people.
Right.
It's not the federal government. It's the government on behalf of the people.
But the point is that Kushner and Trump went further because they then changed the wording of the webpage that deals with the national stockpile to conform to what Kushner and Trump had said. Although for years before that, it made the point that the purpose of the stockpile was to assist the states if they ran low of what they needed. They rewrote it instantly to conform to this Article of Confederation type approach. We're not the stock. This federal government is not the shipping clerk. It's up to the states themselves to lead.
Well, they went from what our government was in 1783-84 to 1984,
yeah.
changing history from behind, from, you know, rewriting history backwards.
Well, that gets to
a new reality.
That gets to what I think is really the political significance of this week. And I think that this week, Trump and the Trumpniks have unleashed their campaign to rewrite the history of the last 4 months so that what Trump really did in relationship to the coronavirus, which was to, through ineptitude and ideology, unleash the greatest epidemiological health crisis in the last 100 years, to being able to claim that he played a great job and he really stopped it in its tracks, despite the fact that as of today, we have 250,000 cases and we have tens of thousands of deaths.
Yeah, that's...
all preventable, all of which were preventable.
Yeah, it's this is the Trump MO. Anything good I get full credit for. Anything that's bad or less than good, it's someone else's fault.
Right. I don't take responsibility.
Responsibility, right. Right. The anti-Harry Truman, where the buck stops here. The buck only stops when it goes into his pocket.
Very well put. The buck stops in my wallet.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we should develop this a little bit more because it's crucial to understand. Now, one of the, it's become a difficult thing for Trump and his minions and his acolytes to continue to do this. But of course, they're going to continue because they have no alternative.
Well, that he has to get elected on this. This is how he has to run, because the election is going to be a referendum on Trump. And this is all that Trump has done. He can't claim the economy. That's gone.
Well, doing, and we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes, but, you know, when it comes to doing the right thing or doing what's right for Trump, it's always doing what's right for Trump in this milieu. But we have to, I think, understand that he's declared himself to be a wartime president. His problem is that he's fighting a war on multiple fronts, and he's fighting it from behind. He's lost control of the battlefield on so many of these fronts, and things keep moving. It's not static. He doesn't have the facility to anticipate where these things are going. He only has the facility to deal in the moment and to deal, as you noted, with the past, to try to change the past. We do have a public record that is been played and put together very well by certain groups. One of them is the Biden campaign. One of them is one of these Republicans for Ethics or something like that.
George Conway's group.
Yeah, George Conway's. Oh, well, that Conway's group has a different name on it. But I think he's part of that group as well. Conway's group's the Lincoln Project, isn't it?
That's right. It is. Yeah.
With Charlie Sykes and those guys. What they've done, though, is they've put together a montage of all of the statements with a timeline and being able to show how this thing is spread and how every time Trump says something, it isn't true and things only get worse. Trump went ballistic. He tried to get, he was going to sue people. He was going to take away their license for running these ads. He was telling Twitter that they have to take it off and the social media to take this offline. And he can't get that. So what he's tried to do, as you said, is develop a different narrative and spread that word through his, through his base on Fox TV. On Friday night, my son made me, it was a good suggestion, watch how Fox was dealing with the reality as opposed to how, CNN or MSNBC was dealing with it. And I was watching Sean Hannity. And, of course, the problem for Sean Hannity and Fox is they also have a video record where you can see their words and how misleading and how many lies and how dangerous what they've said in the past was. But Hannity, what they're trying to do, of course, is blame the Chinese. And because that's the only place they have left to blame at this point. The Chinese and the Obama people. But so they were going on and on and on about how this was a Chinese. And if the Chinese hadn't lied, everything would have been OK. Trump couldn't have known anything because they, you know, he was lied to. By the way, by his good friends who he continues to, you know, praise, the Xi out there. And of course, what they don't do is tell the full truth, which is that the Trump administration took away the power to double check the Chinese on whether they were being truthful or not, because the CDC had a team that was placed in China just for these purposes, to monitor events, and the Trump administration disbanded the team or pulled out the team.
Well, that's very important. The Obama administration organized a deal with the Chinese government to place public health monitors in various cities in China. And they did that. The Chinese agreed. The Obama people did that. And when Trump got elected, there was a special briefing that the relevant parties had with the new Trump people, and they explained to them, A, that they forecast that there would be a pandemic of some sort, flu-like, of unknown specificity,
origin.
An unknown origin, but that within the next few years it was going to happen. That was clear. This is how they were going to handle it. This is the plan for handling it. And the Trump people were totally bored with the presentation. Many of them walked out of the presentation, the people who were there gave that report, and immediately dissolved the groups, including the people who were in China. They pulled them out and dissolved the group within the National Security Council responsible for monitoring this looming healthcare disaster. And then Trump said, I was left with a non-functioning government. But it was him. He did it. He dissolved the functioning part of the government. And though he may say that the Chinese lied to him, the fact is that the Chinese, the first case that the Chinese had, they immediately did a genome study of the virus. And by January the 3rd, the CDC in Washington had the full genome of the virus so that they could do the work.
You know, you talk about the virus. One of the other areas of attack, they're trying everything. They're throwing everything against the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah.
They've come out and they've said, well, it's the Obama administration that never developed a vaccine for this. Of course, forgetting the fact that this virus never existed
right.
at the time of the Obama administration, so you couldn't develop a vaccine.
That's right.
It's like the different forms of flu every year. You can only develop it after you learn what the genome of the flu is to do it. So what
the fact is, if you want to really attack the Republicans, you'd have to attack Abe Lincoln, who never properly funded the Air Force.
No, it was George Washington. Wasn't it the Air Force that, at the time of the Revolution?
That was an overlooked force altogether. That's exactly right.
Yeah, he never appointed a Secretary of the Air Force.
That's right. That's right.
And as a general, he should have known better. Right?
He should have known better. 100% right. Dereliction of duty, and he wasn't a Republican, but the other guy was. So there you have it.
But of course,
what a disgusting group these Trump people are.
Well, talk about dereliction of duty. We had a naval commander who stood up for his troops and was promptly dismissed because it was bad publicity for the administration on that. The head of, you know, commanding officer of the aircraft carrier Teddy Roosevelt. By the way, Teddy Roosevelt's great grandson wrote an article, an op-ed in the New York Times, if anybody wants to go back and read it, in which he said, my great-grandfather would handle this differently. And in fact, he did handle it differently when the malaria outbreak happened in Cuba after the Spanish-American War. He got as many Americans out of there as he could. And he so embarrassed the government that they denied him the Congressional Medal of Honor, which was posthumously awarded by George W. Bush almost a century later. But that's a different story. But this is how these people operate. If the facts don't help you, we'll rewrite the facts.
That's right.
We had that with Jared Kushner this week, rewriting the history. But this is part of this philosophy.
But that's going to happen. I mean, they have nothing else to do. They have to do this to win the election. They can only fight a racist election, anti-Chinese, in order to cover up the fact that they are criminally negligent and are responsible for thousands of American deaths because of their terrible ideology of promoting corporate interests, promoting stock exchange interests at the expense of the American people, and total incompetence. And it's really, it's hard to know how much of it is incompetence and how much is willful refusing to do what's required because it clashes with their ideology, where they don't think they should do anything.
Yeah, well, they have something to do with, and that is that they should address the problem in the best manner possible. But, of course, Trump, who claims he only hires the best people, doesn't have the best people in place. All he's got is Jared Kushner. But you're right, the philosophy, there is a great degree, it's sad to say, of willfulness in this, because their whole philosophy is, as expressed by Ronald Reagan, that the government is the problem. The government can't solve your problems, that you have to rely on private enterprise to solve your problems. And if it's shown that the government is the only entity that's effective in solving this problem or addressing this problem, it puts lie to that philosophy. So they have to make a choice on this, and what they've chosen is their philosophy over the reality.
Their philosophy over their responsibility.
Right, right. You know, Paul Krugman points this out all the time. It's the same thing. He calls it the zombie effect, that they, in economics, where they keep saying tax cuts are going to pay for themselves. Tax cuts are going to pay for themselves. Tax cuts for the rich are going to pay for themselves.
It's never once happened. Never once happened in all the 100 years in which they've tried it.
Doesn't happen. And but they continue to say that, and people continue to believe that. You know, I want to go back to the blame China and watching Sean Hannity, and then he brings on the senator, the junior senator from Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn, who was just elected over the last cycle, and of course she says, well, the Chinese should be made to pay for this, for deceiving us, and they should be turning back the bonds that they bought from us for this. Well, first of all, talk about narrow-mindedness. If they're effectively asking for us to default on our bonds, and then why should the Chinese ever buy bonds from us again?
The Chinese own more bonds than more American bonds than anybody else in the world.
Right. And then the other factor is.
But by the way, there's another. Let me just interrupt you on that. Sure. The whole reason that the wages of workers in the United States have not risen in the last, 50 years, taking into account inflation, the whole reason is that the banks developed a credit system where people borrow. You can borrow cheaply on credit cards. And so people borrow, run up debt, and in place of getting wage increases, they're in debt. Well, without the Chinese to buy that debt, that system doesn't work. The Chinese own the debt. In other words, the entire American capitalist system depends on the Chinese owning the debt. So this imbecile Blackburn, who can't spell economy, doesn't quite grasp that.
Well, the other thing, and again, this is the intersection of the private sector versus the public good, is the fact that our supply chain is now in China, where they've and it's there because of the ability of our companies to secure labor at below union rates, much below union rates, so that they can make greater profit.
Right.
And
which is their obligation as corporate leaders. That's their obligation, to make greater profit.
And there are certain things that should not, we should have the ability that we should not rely on a supply chain to do things. And, of course, it's not just whether they can make certain goods. Yeah, they can make ventilators in China, but we can also make ventilators here in the United States. But the fact of the matter is, parts of these ventilators now depend on chips, and the only place they're making chips is in China. So if the Chinese say, hey, you want to play that game with us, all of a sudden, we're going to have a problem at the plant that makes the chips, at all these plants that we may have to, it's not our fault. Something went wrong with the whatever, and now we can't get chips to do things. So they forget what General Mattis said, that the enemy gets a vote, that there can be counter
All of this counts as trade war, and as Trump pointed out, trade wars are easy to win. We can't lose a trade war.
And of course, he still believes that the Chinese were paying for the tariffs when it was the American people.
I don't know what he believes. He says it. Who knows what he believes? Who knows what he understands?
Because it varies from day to day. But this whole idea of that the private sector is going to bail you out. You mentioned a term to me before we went on the air, the fallacy of composition.
Right.
You want to explain that a little bit to our listeners?
Well, the fallacy of composition is a term in logic, in formal logic, which points out that there is a difference between the interests of the individual and the interests of the group. And you can't say that if you have a million individuals, that you take the interests of any one of them and multiply it a million times, that equals the interests of the group. The group interest is totally different. An example is this. An army is advancing someplace, and they meet an enemy obstacle. Somebody has to go and blow up that obstacle. It's a suicide mission. The enemy has to be destroyed. Some individual or group of individuals have to volunteer or be ordered and carry out the mission of destroying that obstacle, or the army falls. Well, for the individual who goes and gets killed, that's not a benefit. He's dead. But for the army, the group, the state, the nation, whatever, it's an absolute necessity. If you say that the interests of the individual are the same as the interests of the army, you have fallen into the error of the fallacy of composition. That's an example.
Yeah. And we were talking about, there's so many other examples of this that are going on in this mess, because no one has taken charge of it from the top, as it should be done.
We see it in the production of masks. 3M can produce these masks. We need tens of millions of masks now. 3M says, yeah, they can produce it, but they've got to sell them abroad where they can sell them for a higher price. So if you want any of them, you got to let them sell many of them someplace else. But we need all of them. The interest of the individual, that is 3M, is in contradiction to the interests of America. That's an example of the fallacy of
competition.
Private enterprise can't do the job.
Well, Andrew Cuomo's got the thing that, as he's explained it, is they now have each of the states competing against each other, bidding up the price of masks, and they're being outbid by FEMA for the masks, and FEMA isn't distributing the masks evenly, and FEMA.
No, because those are our masks. Those are not your masks.
Those are our masks, but also FEMA is doing this on borrowed money, which of course
from China
goes back to the Chinese.
Right,
the Chinese. So we're back into that.
You've got to be able to answer these, because Trump is going to hide all this stuff. Trump is going to lie about all this stuff, and he began this week.
Well. The other thing, I mentioned the battlefield or the many fronts. He's also got another front, and that's the unemployment situation here. That, last week we were talking about that the record week for unemployment claims was five times anything that we'd ever seen before, even during the Great Recession. And, of course, this week the numbers came out, and if you watched it live on CNBC, when Rick Santelli gets up there, they always give the predictions. They said, well, maybe it'll match it, or maybe it'll be 4 or 5 million. It came out 6.6 million. In other words, it doubled. So we've got 10 million unemployment new claims in 2 weeks.
That's what's called exponential growth.
It is. It is. And that, of course, has multiplier effect, as you were pointing out to me beforehand. For instance, these people lose jobs. Well, many of these jobs pay for private health insurance. Now, all of a sudden, there's no private health insurance. Now, in their supreme logic, the Trump administration, because all things Obama have to be destroyed, they've said that people now, they're not going to open up the exchanges so people can try to sign up for Obamacare. So now what they've said is, well, they won't need that if they have the virus. We're going to tell the hospitals that they have to treat these people for free, and then we're going to reimburse the hospitals presumably at the Medicare rate, but they haven't said anything about the doctors, nor have they said, well, what happens if you have to go in for something that isn't coronavirus? You have a heart attack, you have a stroke, you have an accident and break your ankle.
Yeah, you have all the things that health insurance covered before the virus, which was inadequate.
Yeah, and I think that that's a big Achilles heel in the Trump plan, and it'd be interesting as to how he's trying to do it. Of course, as I said,
it certainly validates Bernie's statement that we have to have health care for all. Health care should be a human right. It should not be a commercial matter, and you shouldn't be able to make profit off it. And now you have a situation pending where the companies, the health insurance companies, will collapse. If all of these people who are laid off stay laid off, there are no premiums that are going to be going to the health insurance companies. They are not going to maintain, they're not going to be able to maintain the system of private health insurance.
Well, there's no, because the companies aren't paying the premiums, and the workers, usually it's a portion of your paycheck comes out.
I mean,
and
the workers can't afford.
There's no paycheck. Right. So, of course, then the companies are going to go for a government bailout, which, of course, is socializing, socialism for the healthcare industry.
Right. So you can't have socialism in the healthcare industry. You can't have the government directing the recovery because, as Trump's pointed out, that's also socialism. I suppose that he thought that World War II was socialism because, after all, the army was run by the government, production was run by the government, wages were set by the government, research was done by the government.
This goes back into also the thing, the philosophy of big business, this just-in-time economy where you don't keep inventory or prepare for a rainy day type of thing. And so if World War II was feature that way, you would only produce as many bullets as you need on a day-by-day basis. And of course, if there was like the Battle of the Bulge, an offensive that you required you all of a sudden to need more ammunition, you'd have to go wait for your production lines to get back up to increase your production. This is the idea of maximizing profits at the cost of not having rainy day planning, so to speak, or worst case scenario planning.
In modern warfare, as anybody who studies it knows, logistics are the key. Whoever has, and if two armies oppose each other, the army that has superior logistics wins. Mastery of logistics is the entire key to modern warfare. Trump, being an ignoramus, doesn't understand this, doesn't know this.
And well, when you own apartments, you don't understand that.
Logistics. He wants to be a wartime president, but he doesn't want to know anything about war, which is fine with me. Just get out. These guys really belong in jail. They are responsible for the deaths of all the people who are dying now of coronavirus.
Remember when Wilbur Ross said that when the epidemic was confined to China, that this was going to be great for the American economy?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
There's another genius. Now, in the long term, there are going to be changes where things are going to be brought back on shore. But people, as said, people don't eat in the long term. People have to eat now.
It's not going to happen with the Trumpniks in power because they can't do it. They don't want to do it, no matter what they say. And they don't know how to do it. And it won't get done. They have to be thrown out of power.
Yeah. And, which is a whole different show that we need as to what's going to happen. Right now, elections are all in limbo.
Right now, we're out of time.
We're out of time. So next week, we'll see.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City, 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.